Maria Westman Baptist Church in the state of New Mexico in USA. Greetings in Jesus' name from Grace Church in the town of Zviagin in Zhytomyr region in Ukraine. Dear friends, dear sisters and brothers, we would like to congratulate you on the bright holiday of Christ's resurrection. At this special time for Ukraine, we are grateful to God that we can celebrate Easter. In the east of our country, there are fierce battles every day in the deoccupied territories. Many places are mined. In some places, it is impossible, unfortunately, to sow grain and cultivate the land. But, we continue to pray. Ukraine is standing. Ukraine holds. We continue to serve refugees, soldiers, wounded soldiers, disabled people, children. We thank you very much for your prayers, for your support. Thank you for your remaining our friends. I believe that soon there will be a great victory of the Ukrainian army, because of your help too, and you will be able to come to us, and we will hold a wonderful children's camp together, and we will serve our Lord together. Christ is truly risen. Христос воскрес. Воистину воскрес.
Have joined us for a great Sunday morning. It is Resurrection Sunday. We are pumped. We have our party balloons ready. Woo-hoo! We have our party streamers ready, and we have our party people ready here in the house. If you're watching online, you are going to be part of a great service as well. We have an awesome service.
It's going to be phenomenal. You are going to be so glad you didn't miss it. And if you are a guest in the house, we have these cool little things in the seat back in front of you. They're called connection cards. We would just like to know that you were here. Maybe give us a phone number, email. We just want to reach out, give you a virtual high five, saying thanks for joining us on this special day. Yes. And if you're new here, we have some information.
First things first, if you're new here or if you're not new here, we are a judgment-free zone. That's what we like to call ourselves here at Westman. We don't always get that right. But what our goal is that you can come into our church and feel welcome. You can come and feel comfortable. No matter where you've been or what you're going through, Jesus is here to wash that all away. We are so happy to have you here that we will not judge you for where you've been. You are here and we are happy to have you.
That's right. And if you're brave enough to talk to some people around here, they've probably been through some of the stuff that you may be going through. So you're not alone. And we just want to, we take those words that Jesus said, come as you are, very seriously. So, yes, this is a judgment phrase. And we want to give you a warning right up front that we are going to be celebrating this beautiful day with communion. And it is for anyone. If you are a believer, if you have a relationship with our Lord, then this is for you. You do not have to be a member here at West Main to do this with us. It is for God's family. And if you're a part of that, then it is for you.
Do yourself a favor as well and download our app.
Yes.
You can get through all of our sermon notes there. A great place to tithe. A great place to get connected if you're new watching online or if filling out papers isn't your thing. We have all of those things ready for you on the app. So find it on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store and we'll be good to go.
And that is it. We are going to turn it over to our entire band. There's both bands on the stage today. We are going to get this party started and worship a risen Savior. Bye, guys.
Man, that's a lot of energy, wasn't it? Hey, we're so glad to have you here in the house and watching us online this morning. I just have one thing to say. He is risen. Oh, my. Our hope is no one else and no one better than Jesus Christ. So let me give you a little heads up. What we're going to do is you stand. If I could have your attention for just a moment before we go to break into the meet and greet. We are also doing the Lord's Supper right up front. So, if you want to take communion with us, if you would, while you're meeting and you're greeting, would you be getting a COVID-friendly cup from back in the back, and then Jason will lead us in communion together. So, if you're an introvert, I feel your pain. If you're an extrovert, take care of the introverts. You know, either leave them alone or bring them a COVID-friendly cup. Just be nice, all right? Be nice. All right, let's take a moment and meet and greet and get communion cups. Here we go.
Just a little hand clap, right? We need to celebrate a little bit more than that. You know what I mean, Kenny Groves? You know what I mean? I said he's risen! Woo! All your sins are gone. Your entrance into heaven is paid. Come on, church! He's risen! Yeah! Now here's what I need. I need you this morning. I need you to step out of some comfort zones. I need us, we all look, you look beautiful. You dressed up, you wore your Easter best. You look amazing. We don't use the word Easter around here, by the way. That's a weird word. It's a resurrection day. Come on. I see so many of my old students that have come back from college that have grown up and make me feel old that are here today. I see so many families gathered together here today, and here's what I need. I need you today to break loose a little bit. I need you, when we start rocking, we're gonna start rocking here in just a second. I need you to get those hands up and to worship our Savior like never before, because on this day we celebrate the fact that he went into hell and wrecked hell, that he stole the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And today we're going to celebrate that resurrection. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm not afraid. Wait, I already messed up. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill. Oh, you sound so good. Man's empty praise, treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along. Come on, yeah. Put me back together. Every desire is now satisfied. Hearing your love. Come on, come on. Oh, there's nothing better. church. Come on. I'm not afraid. Come on. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness. Don't stop. Come on. My failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all. You still call me friend. Yeah, because God on the mountain. What is he? Come on.
History books are full of the stories of once grand kingdoms, places built for kings and queens who sought fame and chased glory, those who conquered their enemies and ruled by power and might. They grew powerful empires, defeated the weak, and built walls around their wealth. Their stories are legendary. But those kingdoms, no matter how grand, now serve only as a monument to rulers who once were. Their kingdoms were built with stones that have now crumbled with power that has faded. You see, a kingdom with no end would need a king like no other. A king that didn't come down to be served, but to serve. A king who elevated the lowly, healed the hurting, and traded a royal robe for a towel to wash feet. And then, in history's greatest act of love, this king would lay down his life for the sake of the whole world, taking our guilt and our shame, offering us life, hope, and inviting us all to be part of his kingdom.
Good morning, everybody. Glad you're here. My name is Jason. You picked a good day to be here, a day to celebrate a risen Savior. I hope that by the end of our time together today, we could all agree that there is no other king like King Jesus. There is no one like him. There is no one like him. 3 days before the resurrection, Jesus was killed. He was crucified. Now, this was not unusual. Rome crucified thousands and thousands of criminals. When Rome would crucify somebody, there was one goal, actually two goals. Turn me down a little bit if you don't mind, Adam. Crucifixion had two goals. One, terrorize the community. If you were living in a community where somebody was crucified, the message to you was, if you do what he did, this will happen to you. And the second goal of crucifixion was to totally destroy the criminal. Shame him and destroy him. In fact, most criminals, in fact, almost all criminals who were crucified, they were not allowed to be buried in a tomb. They were dumped on the local garbage heap, forgotten and destroyed. And so because of that, because of the terrorism, because of the total shame of the event, because of the potential that you too might be crucified if you were associated with the person being killed, well, there weren't a whole lot of people there with Jesus when he died. In fact, you can really just make a small list. It was Mary, his mom. It was John, his favorite disciple. And a couple of secret fans who really hadn't gone public with their following of Jesus, but they wanted to see what was going on. Now, just as important as who was there is to take note of who was not there. Most of the disciples were not there. John was the only one. Judas had already done his deed and left and killed himself. And the rest of the disciples, other than John, they were hiding. They were afraid. They were scared. So the disciples weren't there. There were no Christians there. In fact, the word Christian hadn't even been invented yet. There were no Christians watching Christ die. Christian was a word invented decades later, and in fact, it was used as an insult. And, free plug, next week we're starting a series called Don't Settle for Christian. Don't settle for that. Also not there, the church. There wasn't a church. It didn't exist. It was a dream in the mind of Jesus at that point. And maybe most importantly not there, the Bible. Nobody had a pocket New Testament. Nobody had YouVersion on their phone. This was way before the Bible. When Jesus was crucified, you have to take note of who was not there. Jesus was killed, and at this point, most of his followers, none of his friends, and even his family, only one member of his family was there. The rest of them, they had decided to unfollow. They weren't about to be anywhere near that crucifixion. And so they all left. Why? Messiahs don't get crucified. Sons of God don't get crucified. Kings don't get crucified. And yet Jesus just did. And so in their minds, the assumption was everything we've believed up to this point is dead. Now, meanwhile, Caesar, who lived in Rome, he has no idea what had just happened in Jerusalem. The most important day up to that point in history, and Caesar, the emperor in Rome, he has no idea what's happened. This is not front page news. This is not trending on Twitter. Nobody's making a TikTok video. Nobody knows, except the people in Jerusalem, what had just happened. Jerusalem was just this backwater armpit of the Roman Empire. The rest of the world was just going on as usual. Meanwhile, Saul of Tarsus, who you might know as Paul, who would later go on to write 2/3 of the New Testament, he actually was happy that they had finally killed Jesus. He was celebrating the death of Jesus. Meanwhile, Thomas, who we call the doubter, and all the other disciples, they were gone. They were hiding. They were afraid for their lives. Peter, James, and John, they all kind of hid together. They were figuring out what was going to happen next. And in another place, in another building, all the women, Mary and the other Mary and probably some more Marys, lots of people named Mary, but all the women who were kind of associated with the Jesus movement, they were gathered in another place. Meanwhile, we might as well call this message meanwhile. Meanwhile, nobody, not even his followers, believed that Jesus was the Savior. Saviors don't get killed. Nobody, not even his family or his closest friends, believed in that moment that Jesus was the King. Kings don't get crucified. Nobody, even his closest followers, Peter, James, and John, those guys who are like his inner circle, not even those three guys were trying to keep the ministry and the movement of Jesus alive. They had forgotten about that. They had abandoned that, and they were just trying to figure out, how do we get out of Jerusalem without getting killed, and how do we just go back to regular life? It's important to know and understand why Jesus was killed. Jesus was not killed because of all the miracles he performed. Now that, he got a whole lot of attention for that, a whole lot of notoriety for the miracles that he performed, but that's not why he was killed. And Jesus was not killed because of his teachings. In fact, if you look at his teachings, they were extremely difficult and even impractical. Jesus would teach people, love your enemies. What? Jesus would teach people, forgive everyone who offends you. Jesus would even say, pay your taxes. Jesus would say that greatness is not measured by who you are, what's on the title of your business card, or how much money you have. Jesus would say greatness is measured by how well you serve other people. Did you get one of these little things when you came in? I hope you have one, because now's the time. Because Jesus, in his teaching, at Passover, he's sitting with his disciples, and he would teach them something that at the time was just so out there for them. They did not understand what he was saying. In the middle of the Passover, Jesus took some bread. And he broke the bread and he blessed the bread. And then he looked at his followers and he said, do you see this bread? This bread is my body, which is broken for you. So take it to remember me. And then Jesus, in his teaching, would raise the bar even higher and make things even more awkward. He took a cup of wine. We use grape juice because we're good Baptists. But Jesus would take a cup of wine and he would bless it. And then he would say this, this cup is my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And when you take it, remember me. Jesus' teachings are not the things that got him killed. In fact, the truth is nobody followed Jesus because of his teachings. The Gospels tell us over and over that they were just in awe of Jesus' teachings, but they did not always understand them. That's not why people followed Jesus. They followed Jesus because of who he claimed to be. And that is what got him killed. Jesus claimed to be greater than Moses, greater than the prophets, greater than the temple and the temple system, and Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. Now, these claims were what really got the religious, the Jewish religious leaders so angry. And one of the reasons they were so angry is because they literally owned the religious system. And if you were going to buy a lamb or a dove or whatever to sacrifice, you would buy it from a religious leader. And so they were getting so wealthy off of this sacrificial system, and Jesus was now a threat to it. And so it made them furious that Jesus was claiming to be greater than Moses, who started this thing, and greater than the prophets, and even greater than the temple. But they couldn't do anything about it. They were angry, but they couldn't enforce any authority to take Jesus out. So they remembered, oh yeah, you know what else Jesus claimed to be? Jesus claimed to be a king with his own kingdom, and he claimed to be God. Now those two things are what got him in trouble, because now the Jewish leaders were able to take him to the Roman governor. And in the first century, there was only room for one king in the Roman Empire. It was Caesar. And not only was he king, he was worshipped as one of the gods. And so here's this Jewish teacher, preacher, rabbi claiming to be a king with his own kingdom and claiming to be God. Well, Rome could not stand for that. And so the Roman emperor has him crucified. And I'm telling you, if you were there in the moments after his death, if you were one of his followers, you would feel the same way his followers felt. What were we thinking? We followed this man because he said he was God. We followed this man because he said he had a kingdom that we could be a part of. And we just watched him hang on a cross, and they buried his body in a tomb. He's dead. We had to have been wrong the whole time. Unless you think I'm making this up, we're going to look at some scriptures in just a minute. And everybody who at one time followed Jesus had unfollowed, because now Jesus is dead. And it made no sense to them, because when Jesus died, everyone expected Jesus to do exactly what dead people do: stay dead. When Jesus died on that cross and was buried in a tomb by two of his secret fans, everyone expected Jesus to do what all dead people have done: stay dead. Well, one more thing happened. When Jesus died, there was no doubt who was in control. There was no doubt who had all power and authority. Rome won. You don't get to claim to be king and live. Rome won. So what I want you to do is fast forward from that moment, okay? Can you just push pause on that moment and push the fast forward button to a very, very specific date? We're going to fast forward 350 years to the future, to February 27th, 380 AD. Does anybody remember their ninth grade history class, what happened on that day? Let me just help you out. The emperor of Rome, the Roman Empire, his name was Theodosius I. And on February 27th, 380 AD, just 350 years after Jesus was killed, the Roman emperor issues a law, a brand new law. The law is called the Edict of Thessalonica, and it did two things. The most important thing for you to understand today is that that law makes Christianity the official and only religion in the Roman Empire. And not only that, but it took away all of the funding for all of the worship of all other gods in the kingdom, which they had been doing for generations. So in 380 AD, 350 years after Jesus was killed for claiming to be a king, now he is declared the only one that Roman people can worship. And not only that, we're taking all the money away from anybody who worships any other god, because Jesus is the only one we're going to worship. What? That's 350 years after Jesus claims to be king, and Rome says, no, you can't do that. We're going to kill you for being king. 350 years later, that same empire says, we're going to worship you as the king. Just you as the king and as God. So let's fast forward again. I want to fast forward from that moment, 380 AD, to 2023. Today, like 1,700 years later, here's what's going on. There is no more Roman Empire. In fact, not long after they decided, you know what, let's make the state worship Jesus, that was kind of their undoing. They ceased to exist. And today, if you go to Rome, this man right here sent me some pictures. All over Rome, there are crosses hanging. In all of these places where Christians were killed, there are now crosses hanging, and not as a threat. There are crosses hanging not as instruments of death and suffering and shame. There are crosses hanging to remind people how much God loves everyone. They are there as a symbol of love, not as suffering. And today, you could go to Jerusalem, and it's just full of Christian tourists. Like on the day Jesus was killed, you couldn't find one of his followers. Today, there are thousands of people in Jerusalem today following Jesus, worshiping Jesus, and seeing the things that Jesus would have saw in Jerusalem. And so, logically, the question for you today should be, what happened? What happened? How does a Jewish rabbi who had, well, a little following with some really awkward, difficult, impractical teachings, who got killed for claiming to be a king, just 350 years later be declared the only one Roman people could worship, and then 2,000 years later, here we are. What happened? Well, the answer is, what happened is why we're here, right? What happened is why we're here. What happened is why we gather on this Sunday and every other Sunday, because our king died, but he rose himself from the grave. This is what our king did. He conquered death and sin forever, and by his own power raised himself from death to life. That's what happened, and that's why we're here. And our boy John saw it all. He saw him die, he saw him get buried, and then he tells us what happened next. Now remember, this is way before the Bible. This is way before there was a church. This is way before Christians. This is just John writing down what he saw. John says this: early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. This is John referring to John. He just wants all of us to know, yes, Jesus loves you, but he loves me a little bit more than you. He certainly loved me more than he loved Peter. So Mary finds Peter and John, the one whom Jesus loved, and she says, notice what she does not say before we read it. She does not say, he's alive. She does not say, he's risen. She does not say, we were just down at the tomb before the sun came up and I had my clock and I was going 10, 9, 8. That's not what she says. She says, they have taken the Lord's dead body out of the tomb and we don't know where they put him. Her assumption: Jesus died, Jesus was buried, he's still dead, somebody stole him. Why would they do that? Now, Luke gives us just a little bit more detail. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who had gone to the tomb. Now, listen, they weren't going because they thought Jesus was going to rise from the dead. That's not why they were going. You can read this account. They were going because the night Jesus died, two men buried Jesus, and they embalmed Jesus. And, well, can we just be honest, like a good woman, they just assumed those guys did it wrong, and so we're going to go to the tomb, and we're going to make sure that the body of Jesus is prepared correctly for burial. That's why they went. They did not go expecting to talk to him. They did not go expecting to see no body. They went expecting to find the body of Jesus, embalm the dead body of Jesus, and reseal the tomb over the dead body of Jesus. But they got there, and there was no stone. It was gone. And there was no body. It was gone too. But they thought, well, they stole it. Somebody stole it. So they went back and tell Peter. And listen to what the men thought. But the story that they were just telling sounded like nonsense to the men. So they didn't believe it. None of his followers thought Jesus was alive. None of them even remotely had the thought that, oh, Jesus the king is alive. They just thought, well, they've stolen his body, and this is just a bunch of nonsense. We don't believe you anyway. So guess what happens? Peter has to see what's going on. So John, we'll pick it back up with John. John says, Peter and the other disciple, that's me, John, started out for the tomb. They were both running. But the other disciple, I was really fast. Just want you to know, for all eternity, Peter, slow, John, fast. I outran Peter, and I reached the tomb first, and when you get to the point where you can just write yourself in third person, you have arrived. He, John, I stooped in and looked in, and I saw, John says, the linen wrappings that his two secret disciples had wrapped him in, and they were laying there, but I didn't go in there. Then Simon Peter arrived, finally, slowpoke, and he went inside. Finally, Simon Peter shows up, and Simon Peter goes in, and he also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first, do you love John? I love John. Who had reached the tomb first, he decided he's going to go in, so I went in, and I saw and believed. He saw and believed. For until that moment, they still had not understood the scriptures that Jesus had quoted that said Jesus must rise from the dead. And it's at that moment that John and Peter believe. Oh, yeah. Jesus said he would rise again. They haven't stolen him. They wouldn't steal him and then leave the body wrappings here. He's alive. And they believed. And they go back and they tell all the other disciples. And they begin to believe. And then guess what? Jesus appears to them. He shows up in the room. And all the disciples there, they re-engage. They re-follow Jesus. They now see a risen Savior, and everything for them has changed. Now listen very carefully. Worship leaders, this is your time to come back and lead us. The resurrection of Jesus is not a Bible story. It's not a Bible story. The resurrection of Jesus is not a Bible story. Are you with me? The resurrection of Jesus is the story. The resurrection of Jesus precedes all Bible stories. The resurrection of Jesus is the story. The resurrection of Jesus is why you're here. The resurrection of Jesus is why we have hope. When Jesus rose from the dead, he not only conquered sin and death forever, but he answered three really, really important questions that I want you to have an answer for today. If you've ever wondered, how do I know where I stand with God? If you've ever wondered, how does God really feel about me? If you've ever wondered, how does God feel about what I did last weekend? Or how does God feel about the mess I've made of my family? If you've ever wondered how God feels about your sin, your failures, if you've ever wondered how God feels about you, you need look no further than the disciple that Jesus loved the most, because he recorded it for us. Here's what John would say. He remembered back to one of the teachings of Jesus that he found unbelievable. And John would say, this is how God loved you, the world, all humanity. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And in case you've forgotten, John would say this, don't forget this part either. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world. Not to condemn you. Jesus did not come here to judge you or condemn you. He came here to save you. That's it. He came here to save you. So today, my friends, you are not condemned, you are not judged, you are not abandoned, you are not alone, you are not powerless in your sin and in your shame and in your failures. You are prized and valued by majesty. You are loved beyond words because you have a king who is like no other king who has ever existed. No other king died and lives again. No other king. No other king traded your sin and your shame for his righteousness. No other king took off your chains to give you freedom in exchange. No other king paid the price for sin that you were supposed to pay. No other king loved you enough to stand in your place and die in your place. No other king can take what is dead and make it live again. No other king left a throne to walk by your side. No other king measures greatness by service. No other king makes a way for the last to be first. No other king freely gives with no strings attached forgiveness, grace, and love. And no other king operates or rules a kingdom based on goodness and kindness and mercy. No other king but King Jesus. And so for you, the best thing you can do today is give your heart to the King and to give your life to his kingdom. There is no greater thing you can do. Would you pray with me? Bow your heads for just a second. Our worship leaders are gonna take over. They're gonna lead us. I just want you to know, if you haven't heard it yet, you are loved and valued and prized by your Creator. He loves you so much, he died for you, and he offers to you eternal life. All you have to do, accept the gift and believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, the King with a kingdom who is coming back. Let's stand and let's worship our King.
Free by the mercy of God. I'm living proof of what the mercy of God can do. If you believe me then, believe me now, you turn my whole life upside down to the old. Just what the mercy of God can do. I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome, how his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. His goodness I've done the things said, choices made that I regret. Oh, I would still be lost.
Still be lost.
But for the mercy of God.
Come on, give him glory this morning. Come on.
I'm alive to tell the story how I've overcome, how his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. His goodness and mercy and the power of blood.
Come on, church. Give him a shout this morning. Are you free? Come on, give him a shout.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin. Lost without hope but no place to begin. Your love made a way and let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name.
When death was arrested, my life began. our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested, my life began. That's when death was arrested, my life began. Oh, so free, washes over.
My future is heaven.
church. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. I praise God for what He's done. Come on, let's praise Him. Come on, give Him a shout this morning for what He's done. For what He's done. Come on. Yes.
You know, as we leave the building this morning, I just want you guys just remember what He's done. We are free because of what He's done. We can face today, we can face the week, we can face the future because of what He's done. You guys, happy Resurrection Day. Go and be little Christ. Thank you, you're dismissed.